Hello everyone, welcome to our worship celebration. Kamusta po kayong lahat? I'm happy that you could join me. Today we find ourselves as we continue our study on the Book of Psalms, looking at choice Psalms and try to live them out. We find ourselves looking at a familiar Psalm by a familiar Psalter about a familiar event in his life. Today we'll be looking at Psalm 51. But before we begin, pray po muna tayo. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you with the confidence that you hear us. So in all humility and all honesty, Lord, we pray that you'd teach us, minister to us, embrace us, encourage us, rebuke us as we ponder upon great truths from your word. Your word is truth, O God, so sanctify us with it. We pray that you'd teach us and preach to our hearts. Allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that would come out of my mouth be glorifying, pleasing, and acceptable to you. There's our heart's cry with much thanksgiving in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat at his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Friends, this was the occasion of the writing of Psalm 51. If you look at your Bibles with me and look at the superscript in Psalm 51, again, sabi po natin, ang superscript that in the heading is part of the inspired revelation of God. And so what we see in the superscript is this: to the choir master, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So what we have here is the pouring out of the heart of perhaps, again, the most familiar Psalter, si David, in the whole book of Psalms, and about perhaps the most familiar event in his life. That is when he was a neglectful king. Sabi ng talata, dapat andun siya sa labanan, but he was not. He was at home. It's not as if he had something important to do. Nasa bahay siya, he was a neglectful king. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her pregnant. And para i-cover up yung kasalanan, tinawag niyang pauwi yung asawa ni Bathsheba. He called Uriah home, Uriah the Hittite. And in fact, Uriah the Hittite is one of his mighty men who fought with him and for him faithfully. So he called Uriah home so he could sleep with his wife. But Uriah the Hittite was more noble than his king. Ayaw niyang tabihan ng asawa niya, samantalang ang ilan sa kanyang mga kaibigan at kasamahan ay lumalaban sa digmaan. And so, because David's plan did not push through, he had him murdered. He had this very faithful man, this man who was fighting for him, murdered. And again, looking at the context of 2 Samuel 12, yung aking binasa kanina po, where we see the child of David dying as a consequence of David's sin, this tells us, listen, that David hid the sin for at least 9 months to perhaps 2 years. Tinago ni David itong kasalanan ito ng 9 buwan, maaaring hanggang 2 years. before he was confronted by Nathan. And before we point accusing fingers on David and saying, "Yan ba ang itsura ng a man after God's own heart? Is this the king of Israel?" You need to pause for a while and know that this is our own bent. That we at times would cover up sins. Di po ba? That we would brush it off. That we would live with unconfessed sins and try to act like everything's normal. And in all honesty, we can do that because we think that merely saying sorry is enough to make things right. May 1 John 1:9 naman, di ba? So, therefore, our hearts would become callous, kakalyuhin ang ating mga puso, and would develop an unrepentant spirit, even amidst undealt with sins. And there's great danger there, friends. Seriously, listen. There is great danger. Consider David. Napansin nyo? He was even passing the death sentence of the fictitious man that Nathan reported to him. Hindi niya naisip, hindi man lang tinamaan. He did not have the discernment and sensitivity that the prophet was referring to him. As the Lord lives, this man should surely die. As we say in Tagalog, di po ba? Pag hindi ka na natatakot, matakot ka na. If there's no sense of fear in your heart in a fearful situation, then that is when you ought to be fearful. And perhaps, friends, you are in that situation right now. And so I pray that we would learn from David as we look at genuine repentance, as we would look at true repentance. I emphasize genuine and true. Because there's such a thing as a godly sorrow that leads to salvation and also a worldly sorrow that leads to death. Si Pedro at si Judas, they all wept for their sins. They both wept for their sins. Both were sorrowful. But one sorrow led to salvation and the other led to death. Psalm 51 talks about that godly sorrow. Look at that superscript again. Tingnan niyo po ulit yung Bible niyo. Look at the superscript. To the choir master. Telling us that this is not just a personal and private lament, but one that is meant to be sang in the congregation. Can you imagine sharing your biggest and scandalous and the most scandalous sin at lapatan ng musika, ipakanta sa congregation? That is what we see here. So, again, imagine David, rebuked by Nathan, broken because of the horror of his own sin. In fact, let me read the rest of the passage when Nathan rebuked David. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, look at verse 7. Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with a sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes, and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also have put away your sin. you shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die. Then Nathan went out to his house. It was believed to be during those times that David penned this psalm. Sinulat ni David ito pagkatapos nung rebuke ni Nathan na ito. During the biggest moral collapse of the king. A believer broken and crushed by it and went to the Lord and asked for forgiveness, asked for restoration. This is a penitential psalm. A psalm about repentance. This is what we'll be looking at today. And you might be asking, why would I need to listen to a psalm about repentance? I'm glad you asked. Because inasmuch as true repentance, listen, is needed to be saved, to be born again, as we see in Mark chapter 1:15, where we hear Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Inasmuch as repentance is needed to be born again, genuine repentance is at the heart of believing faith and ongoing faith. Needed for a healthy, ongoing, sweet fellowship and intimate relationship with God. Naalala niyo po yung panawagan ng Panginoon Diyos sa church ng Ephesus who lost their first love? Remember therefore where from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. He also told the church in Pergamum to repent of their associations with false teachings. Sinabi niya rin yun sa simba sa Thyatira. Sa lukewarm church in Laodicea, he said, to those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. So true repentance is needed to be saved and true repentance for ongoing faith. For those who are saved already, sad to say, friends, there are many of those who call themselves Christians but have not truly repented of their sins. There are many who call themselves believers who have been living in sin and can still go on with their supposed walk with the Lord. Even without feeling broken about it. Without turning away from it. Again, mga kaibigan, merely feeling bad for your sins is not repentance already. It's part of it, but not all of it. So, ang panawagan sa unbelievers, ang panawagan sa believers who are struggling with sin is to repent. Repent to be saved, repent to be sanctified and be closer to your God. And David paints for us a beautiful picture of true repentance. So today, I hope you have your pens and notebooks ready. We will be looking at three important elements of true and genuine repentance. Three important elements of true repentance. In verse 1 to 2, we would see an earnest personal plea for compassion. An earnest personal plea for compassion. In verse 3 to 5, we would see an honest recognition of sin in confession. An honest recognition of sin in confession. In 6 to 19, we would see a passionate request for consecration. A passionate request for consecration. Three essentials, three important elements of true and genuine repentance. Let's look at the first heading. Look at verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The first thing that we see here is that he went to God. David went to God with an earnest, personal, emotional plea. Have mercy on me. Who is he speaking to? God. Hindi siya pumunta sa isang counselor. He did not go to one of his priests. He went to God. Alam ko very obvious po yung point na ito, but this is key to genuine repentance. An earnest personal plea to God. God himself. What we see here is a Godward plea. A Godward petition. God is who we go to first. to cry out to Him. And this is not just a generic prayer. It is a personal prayer. Look at the personal pronouns. Verse 1, have mercy on me. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. You see? All throughout the psalm, we would see those personal pronouns. So it is a Godward plea, a personal plea. Kindly notice what David is asking for here. Have mercy on me, O God. Blot out my transgressions. It was an appeal for mercy, an appeal for grace. Bakit? Because David knew he cannot appeal to God on the basis of justice. In fact, di ba, naalala yung nung kinuwento sa akin ni Nathan yung fictitious na character? Anong hatol niya kagad? As the Lord lives, he should surely die. Right? As per justice, David knew that he deserves to die. Compare natin yung storya at sa totoong buhay. In the story, the man just took a little ewe lamb. And the sentence was death. Compared to David's own sin, this is not just taking a lamb. This is adultery. This is unfaithfulness to his call to be a responsible king. This is betrayal of a friend's trust. Again, friends, Uriah is part of the mighty men of David. This is cover-up. This is murder. Appealing to justice and God's righteousness would mean his death. And so he appeals to God's grace. Notice the structure of verse 1. It is chiastic in nature. Right? Ang chiastic po o chiasm is that we would parallel phrases. Like the first statement would be parallel to the last statement. And palitan-palitan hanggang nasa gitna. Let me show that to you. Look at verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, is parallel to blot out my transgressions. And the inner couplet is according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. David was appealing to God's mercy to withhold from him what he deserves. And that is to blot out his transgression. So yun, yung partner. And this appeal is according to God's hesed, steadfast love, God's abundant mercy, multitude of compassion. Again, take note of the preposition, according to, and that is beautiful. Yun ang pinapakita sa atin nung structure ng chiasm. Have mercy on me, O God, blot out my transgression, and the inner couplet is according to the steadfast love and according to your abundant mercy. To David, he knows the enormity of his sin. Let's say this is the magnitude of his sin, and that's the max. Sabi ni David, this is my sin. Have mercy on me. Right? Have mercy on me. According to your steadfast love. And you see, this is my sin. Deal with me according to your mercy, according to your grace. Hesed is God's faithful covenant love to His people. Yung word na mercy there is not just mercy, but tells us of God's multitude, abundant compassion. And it is according to this enormous and wonderful grace and mercy that David was appealing to. Sabi ni David, in his personal, emotional, and earnest plea for God, be gracious to me. This is how this psalm started. A Godward appeal to God's grace, because a genuine, repentant heart, a true confession, and forgiveness are both based upon the reality of God's grace. Look at verse 1 to 2 again. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Here we see three words for forgiveness. Three words that shows God's grace, shows that that God is merciful. And these are imperatives, these are commands, these are verbs. And these are bold petitions. David was saying, show me grace, O God. Have mercy on me, and I ask for you to treat my great sin according to your greater faithful love and your greater abundant compassion. And it seems like in a rapid succession, he would say, blot out my transgression, please. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Yung salitang blot out, yung phrase na blot out, is a metaphor that it's an accounting term. It has a picture of an accountant removing, eradicating, or erasing an entry in the record book. David doesn't want any trace of this sin. Wash. That is a metaphor of the ancient Near Eastern laundry man. Yung naglalaba, who soaked, soap, beat, wrung out, tinipig ang ganon, nire-rinse na maigi para lumalinis. But here we see, he did not just say, wash me. He said, thoroughly wash me. He was saying, wash me, banlawan mo, kuskusin pa ako, pigain mo ako yung mahigpit na piga, squeeze me so that sin will get off me. Cleanse me. The metaphor is purification. In order to approach the altar to participate in worship. Itong salitang ito, usually po associated with those who are lepers. Kailangan ng mga lepers ng cleansing. So, according to David, morally, he is a leper. This is what David asked earnestly from God. Hindi siya yung casual na, sorry po. No, a genuine repentant sinner asking for more than a sticker na okay na ka na. No. He wants restoration. Tingnan niyo ulit yung verse 1 and 2. We see that this plea for compassion is focused on God's grace. We see in verse 2, it's also focused on David's own sin, David's own guilt. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Sa opening verse, nakita natin ang chiasm structure. Diba? Sabi ko po, yung first sentence is parallel with the last sentence. Verse 2 is also one. Hindi natin makita siya sa English translation. Right? Kasi what we read here is, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. But in the original language, it is a chiasm in structure. Literally, it would read this way when we translate it from the original language. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and from my sin, cleanse me. You see, yung partner doon, wash me thoroughly, cleanse me. From my iniquity, from my sin. It's like David was saying, it's my sin, my iniquity, it's my fault. That's beautiful there. There is admission of own guilt. Mga kaibigan, we would not find in Psalm 51, even in 2 Samuel 12, na si David hindi niya inari yung kanyang kasalanan. He is owning up to his sins. That is a mark of genuine repentance. Balik tayo sa 2 Samuel. Kindly turn your Bible to 2 Samuel, verse 12. So sabi ni Nathan kay David, you are the man. Right? Verse 10, now therefore, so dahil nagkasala ka, therefore, here are the consequences, David. The sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, another consequence, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes, and I will give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with their wives in the sight of the sun. Verse 14. The child who is born to you shall die. What am I trying to drive at? David knows already. David was told of the consequences already because of his sins. And he knew that while he was sobbing on the floor. Nung siya'y umiiyak, alam niya yung magiging kahahantungan ng kanyang kasalanan. He knows that. That the sword shall never depart from his house. Diba? As a father, we want peace and unity in our family, right? Sabi nga, I will raise up evil against you at out of your own house. Those are heavy consequences, tama? And for your child to die dahil sa kasalanan mo, that is painful. Bilang tatay, as a dad, I pray for my daughter when she's sick. I pray for her earnestly. Now consider that. Let's go back to Psalm 51. Consider that. And notice that David never mentioned for any of the consequences of his sin in Psalm 51 to be eradicated. He did not even pray for his child. He was focused on his sin and the guilt of his sin, hindi sa consequences ng kanyang kasalanan. How many times do we see ourselves in sin? And when things are found out, pagdabiso tayo, or if we get in trouble, we go to God in prayer. Tama? So concerned about the consequences. Hindi ganun si David. David was so concerned about the weight of his sins and how it affected his relationship with God. He did not even bother to mention the consequences that was given to him in 2 Samuel. Totoong nagrepent si David. He went to God in a very personal and urgent plea, a plea for compassion, because he cannot plead as per justice. He was focused on God's grace. He was focused on the weight of his own guilt. And this leads us, friends, to the second element of true repentance. An element of true repentance is a personal plea for compassion. In verse 3 to 5, we would see an honest recognition of sin in confession. Look at verse, let's start with verse 2. As we see how focused David was with his sins. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is before me, ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. In the first section, we saw three words for forgiveness. Now we see three words for sin: transgression, iniquity, sin. Transgression means rebellion against divine authority. This is rebellion against God. Iniquity, this is perversion. This is perversion. This is guilt. Sin is falling short of God's holiness. Ang tanong ko ganito, why so many different names for sin? Diba? You see, David wants to bring to light different nuance of sin. Para saan? To show us the wickedness, to show us the evil, to show us the depravity of sin. Again, notice the personal pronouns. David was saying, I did it. I am to blame. It was not Bathsheba nor Uriah. It was not even Nathan when he called me out. It was me, myself, and I. You see? I know many times we say that we ought not to be focused on ourselves. Tama po yun. Except when we are talking about sin. Madalas na ang sinasabi, eh, he provoked me. Siya nagsimula eh. I was seduced by this woman. Lalaki lang ako. He started the fight. Though those may be true, but it still does not give us the license to not own up to our own sins. We are responsible for our own actions and reactions. Si David, sa psalm na ito, again, as I've mentioned, used personal pronouns. And he used personal pronouns 28 times. Half of them, yung kalahati nun, is directed towards his sin, telling us he took full responsibility for his sins. And we see how he is willing to face the consequence of his sins. Look at verse 3. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Alam niya yung rebellion niya. Alam niya yung kanyang pagsala. His sin is ever before him. No sugarcoating. No watering it down. Sin is sin. Hindi lapse, hindi blunder, hindi slip up. Why? Why do we have this? Because of who it is ultimately against. Look at verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. You need to understand a very important principle. The greater the offended party, the greater the offense. Let me paint a picture for you. It is one thing to draw yung graffiti, di ba? Yung mag-vandalize sa isang abandoned building. Try doing that to the White House or do that to the Malacanang Palace. You see what I mean? It is one thing to step on an ant, isang langgam. It's another to murder a child. The greater the glory of the object, the greater the crime. And who is more glorious and majestic than God? Who is holy and just, diba? And the God of the universe. Who is more worthy of love and adoration and loyalty but the Lord of creation? Right? Sabi ni David, ultimately, it is against you, O Lord, that I sinned. Again, hindi dinidiscount ni David, hindi dinidismiss ni David na nagkasala siya kay Bathsheba, kay Uriah, sa families ng mga namatay, dun sa gera, when he was being a neglectful king. Right? Alam niya yun, that he's guilty. But here, David knows that all sins are against God because sin, by definition, is anti-God. The horror of sin is that first and foremost, it is an attack on God. Sin is lawlessness, di ba? An offense to the one who set the moral standards. Ito ang makikita natin kay David. Tignan nyo ulitin verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that's beautiful. You may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. This shows the willingness to own up to sin and to face its consequences. Here, David is saying that God's response to his sin is right. And it's justified. Sinasabi niya, ano man po ang padala niyo sa akin, sakit, ano man po yung padala niyo sa akin, paghahatol, tama lang po yun. He accepts what God brings to him. You need to understand, friends, true repentance is more grieved over sin itself than its consequence. Some of us are so saddened by the consequences of the sin, not on the sin itself. Diba? Sa suffering na mangyayari dahil tayo sa ating kasalanan. Listen to Puritan Thomas Fuller. He says, sorrow for sins for sin exceeds sorrow for suffering. I like that. Totoo po yun. Charles Spurgeon, commenting on Psalm 51, said this, "It is not the punishment David cries out against, but the sin. Many a murderer is more alarmed at the gallows, yung bitayan, than at the murder which brought him to it. The thief loves the plunder, though he fears the prison. Not so David. He is sick of sin as sin. His loudest outcries are against the evil of his transgression and not against the painful consequences of it. When we deal seriously with our sin, God will deal gently with us. When we hate what the Lord hates, He will soon make an end of it to our joy and peace. His loudest cry was against his sin and not at the painful consequences of it. Right? Sabi ni David, sa inyo lang po ako nagkasala. Sa inyo lang. Ultimately sa inyo. Upang sa ganun, so that what you bring to me, you are justified. Tama lang po yun. But what happens next is this. In verse 5, we would see that not only did David own up to his sin, inari niya, inangkin niya, hindi niya tinanggi, he acknowledged that all sins are against God. Notice what he says in verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. A few verses ago, he was owning up to his sin, and now he's saying, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Is he blaming now his mom? Not at all. Neither was David saying that his mother committed an immoral act. Hindi sinasabi yun. Hindi in question dito yung morality ng nanay niya. David was speaking about his sin nature, his natural bent. Hindi niya lang inamin yung actual sins niya. He committed those sins. He was also acknowledging that he is a sinner by default since conception. Right? David was saying, I was born a sinner. I was conceived a sinner. And this is not to make it as an excuse, no? Ay, kasi makasalanan ako eh. No, this is not the point. The point is that he was showing us the depth of his sin. It went beyond the specific sins, the actual sins that he did. It went to his stubborn nature. He was a sinner. Committing sin did not make him a sinner. He is a sinner, that's why he is committing sins. David owned up to his sins, overwhelmed with a great offense to the majestic God. At inacknowledging David, yes, I have committed those sins. In fact, I am a sinner by default. I am a sinner since birth. And I need more than pity. I need pardon. Hindi habag ang hiningi ni David, ang hiningi niya pagpatawad. Now, there may be some of you who would think that Psalm 51 is reserved for the worst of sinners. Sabi niyo, eh, dapat lang naman maramdaman yan. Imagine mo yung ginawa niya. Right? And you may say, hindi naman ako nagkaroon ng conspiracy, hindi naman ako nag-cover-up, hindi naman ako commit ng adultery, I have not committed murder. David did those things, that's why he feel this way. And if you are saying this, let me tell you, dear ones, you are misunderstanding the gravity of our depravity. That we are sinners by nature. That you are just as infected with sin as David was. Right? Takot ng takot tayo sa COVID, no? We try our best to not be infected by it. Guess what? Every one of us infected tayo ng sin. We are infected with sin as David was. Remember that lust carries the same guilt as adultery. Anger is not morally better than murder. Gusto yung i-challenge yan? Talk to Jesus. You need to answer to Jesus because He was the one who said these things. You have heard that it was said, To those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Matthew 5:21-22. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Matthew 5:27-28. Sabi ni David, I have sinned. And I have sinned ultimately against God. And this is because I am a sinner. And that leads us to our last heading. Nakita natin ang dalawang essential elements of genuine repentance. We saw that an earnest personal plea for compassion is an essential element. We saw that an honest recognition of sin in confession is an important element of genuine and true repentance. Verse 6 onwards, you would see and hear a passionate request for consecration. In verse 6 to 19, we see David's prayer for consecration. Notice how he is mindfully pleading of this cleansing. Para i-apply sa sarili niya, to be applied to him personally. Look at verse 6. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Sa verse 5, tinawag ni David ang attention natin. He said in verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. There, David was acknowledging that he was sinful by nature. It's not so that he can excuse his offenses, but rather to totally admit his commission of sin and his depraved nature. Ngayon, in verse 6, we see another behold. Ang ganda, no? How fitting it is for us to have these two beholds, one after another. Here, before David continues his petition, his prayer, he says that God delights in truth. Truth from the heart. One who is living in sin can project an outward facade. Remember David? Ilang buwan niyan tinago yon? One can project an outward facade that he's okay, but in reality, he is detestable to the sight of God. At ang ginagawa ni David dito is sinasabi niya, after saying he's a sinner to the core, he now admits that God looks at the heart. And so in effect, he's asking to be changed from within. Ayaw niya ng cover-up. He does not want cover-up. He wants cleansing. He does not want pity. He wants pardon. He does not want cover-up. He wants cleansing. He doesn't want pretension but consecration. And that is what we see in the succeeding verses. Notice that David repeats what he has mentioned in verses 1 to 2. Pero reverse order lang. Sa verse 1 to 2, we would see blot, wash, cleanse. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly and cleanse me from my sin. We see the same thing in verse 7 to 9, but it's in reverse. We see purge, wash, blot. Why the repetition? The repetition here proves how filthy David felt. Pinapakita sa atin ito kung gaano kadumi ang pakiramdam, ang pagtingin at ang pakiramdam ni David dahil sa kanyang mga kasalanan. Look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Kung titignan natin yung sa original language, yung salitang purge, it has the actual root word of sin. So it has an idea of removing sin. David was saying, de-sin me, and I shall be clean. Again, ito po ay may picture ng cleansing ceremonially upang ang isang tao na-declare na ceremonially cleansed ay pwedeng pumunta sa templo para sumamba. David says, purge me. With what? With hyssop. And this is beautiful. Hyssop is a plant that was used in ceremonial cleansing. It is a very, para siyang, ano, yung tangkay niya parang pwede mo siyang parang walis, tambo, pag siya'y pinatuyo, right? And they use that to sprinkle blood all over the temple, right? For cleansing. Remember what the Israelites used to cover the doorposts and lintel para mag-pass over yung angel of death? Hyssop, di ba? And this is very powerful. Listen, David here is telling us he needs blood atonement for him to be cleansed. He needs atonement. And he goes on to say, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Ha? Ano sinasabi ni David? This is a poetic way of finding joy even in the consequences that God has brought as a result of sin. Ang totoong nagsisisi, a true repentant person views God as a loving Father who corrects us when we sin. Sabi niya, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Again, friends, is that you? Does this speak about you? When you suffer because of your own sin, niyayakap niyo ba yung consequence na binibigyan ng Diyos? Do you embrace the corrective love of God or do you disdain it? Or do you say, let the bones that you have broken rejoice? In effect, sinasabi ni David, this is what I need, Lord. And friends, I know we're going to need to go faster as we're running out of time. But I hope you see that what David is sharing here. He truly desires pardon, not pity. And he truly desires cleansing, not a cover-up. He goes on in verse 9, hide your face from my sins. This speaks of the shame that he felt. Hiyang-hiya siya. Dahil sa kanyang kasalanan niya, yung iba sa atin walang hiya eh. And I say this very lovingly. Some of us are living in sin and we're not ashamed of it. David, who has a true repentant heart, he said, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And again, friends, he mentioned that in the opening verses and he is repeating himself. Why the repetition? I can try to explain, but I'd rather you listen to Spurgeon as he comments on this. And this is beautiful. Spurgeon commenting on this. Why the repetition? Why the repetition of the things that he said in the previous verses? And I quote, it's not enough to blot out his sin. His person is defiled, and he fain would be purified. He would have God himself cleanse him, for none but he could do it effectually. The washing must be thorough. It must be repeated. Therefore he cries, multiply to wash me. The dye is in itself immovable, and I, the sinner, have lain long in it, till the crimson is ingrained. But Lord, wash, and wash, and wash again, till the last stain is gone and not a trace of defilement left. The hypocrite is content if his garment be washed. But the true suppliant, the true beseecher cries, wash me, wash me. The careless soul is content with a nominal cleansing. But a truly awakened conscience desires a real and practical washing, and that of a most complete and efficient kind. It is as if the psalmist said, Lord, if washing will not do, try some other process. If water avails not, let fire, let anything be tried, so that I may be purified. Rid me of my sin by some means, by any means, by every means. Only do purify me completely and leave no guilt upon my soul. That's so powerful. That is beautiful. Again, remember that David was in sin. Diba? He was covering it up then, diba? when he was still in this sin, he was trying to conceal it. In fact, from at least 9 months to 2 years. But now he does not care anymore. Hindi siya na nalangin, Lord, sana hindi ako mahuli. Lord, sana hindi po ako mabuking. Lord, I pray that I may not be found out. No, David wants cleansing, not a cover-up. David understands fully well, verse 17 of this beautiful psalm, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. He understands that. Listen, but more importantly, David understands that a broken spirit and a contrite heart were things that he cannot come up on his own. Alam niya na ang mababang loob at ang mapagkumbang puso ang hindi sinasaway, that God does not despise them. But he knows that he cannot make his heart contrite, he cannot make his spirit broken on his own. In verse 5, he admitted that he was depraved by nature, di ba? Now think about this, brethren. If he was born a sinner, if he was conceived in iniquity, if he was so corrupted to the core, this means, listen, that a repentant heart would not be natural for him. To have a repentant heart would not be natural for him. It means a broken spirit and a broken heart is beyond David's ability to have. Hindi niya kaya magkaroon nun on his own. That is why we see him turning to God. That is why we see him in verse 10 pleading, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David understood that only divine grace can accomplish in David's heart the work that needs to be done. Alam ni David yon, he cannot do it on his own. In order for David's spirit to be broken, for his heart to be contrite, in order for David to be broken sufficiently to make an acceptable sacrifice before God, God himself would need to break David. And if David's spirit would ever be clean enough, for his heart pure enough, to restore him to the joy and the gladness he once knew, kailangan yan ng creative work that only God can do. Look at verse 11, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. What do you see here? Is this a reference that we can lose our salvation? Kasi sabi niyan, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Right? No. David might have been thinking of himself and Saul and both their experiences. Remember, the Spirit left Saul. God was so mad at Saul that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. So David was crying out for that not to happen to him. Lord, sana hindi mangyari sa akin yun. And for David to pray this way, it would indicate that he was aware that God has not left him yet. Tama? That the Spirit has not left him yet. Kaya makita sa verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Hindi sinasabi, restore to me my salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. David's sin made him fear for the loss of sweet fellowship with God. And it has robbed him of his joy. And again, beloved, David on his own cannot make himself secure. David cannot fabricate joy. It's only God who can. Thus, he is crying out to God, diba? Yung ibang tao, ang kala nila, they can change on their own, at will. Something that they can. Maybe some of you thinks this way. Maaring ilan sa inyo na sa kasalanan, and you know it's sin, But you would convince yourself, saka na ako magbabago. Saka ako na iiwan yan. Baka next week na lang po. Or next month. Or maybe next year as my New Year's resolution. Hindi si David. David knew what he needed. He knew he can't do it on his own. So he went to God and asked him. Would you go to chapter 32 for a minute? Psalm 32 for a minute. Diba, tinin natin yan a few weeks ago. And we said Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 has the same context. It's the sin of David with Bathsheba. Right? Sabi natin, Psalm 32 was a psalm that David wrote after he went through the ordeal that we are discussing in Psalm 51. Psalm 32, verse 7. Starting from verse 7. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and a bridle, or it will not stay near you. Yung proof ng forgiveness described in Psalm 32, 7 to 9 is found in the altered heart that we see in Psalm 51, verse 13 to 17. Again, let me say that again. The confidence that we see in Psalm 32, that he was forgiven, proof of it is the change of heart that we would see in Psalm 51, verse 13 to 17. Look at verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. That's what we see here. David is adamant. David was intentional in teaching his congregation and us, putting it into a song, even though this is very shameful, para malaman natin anong dapat natin matutunan with regards to repentance. Then I will teach your transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. God is his salvation from the bloodiness of the sin that he committed. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. This is going to be turned into a song. O Lord, open my lips, verse 15, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. We see the change of attitude as well in verse 18 to 19. That's why we see him wrapping up as he intercedes for his nation, as David prays for his people, because he understands that sin affects a person, a family, a community, a people. So he prays for his nation. Verse 18, do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices and in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. What is the main idea of this psalm? It's repentance, tama? Did you know that the Bible teaches that repentance is a gift from God? Check for yourselves. Acts 11, 18 and 2 Timothy 2, 25. Both passages speaks of repentance as a work of divine grace granted to sinners by God's sovereign hand. And that is the main idea of the psalm. Throughout the psalm, David was asking God to do for him what he cannot do himself. Psalm 34 celebrates, sinulat din ni David yan, the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That is the answer of God, the Lord. This is God's answer to David's plea. And you need to understand, in the greater scheme of things, God did not impute these sins to David, but instead he imputes them on Christ looking forward, who paid the penalty for them. And in turn, Christ's righteousness was imputed to David. And this brings us to the gospel once again, doesn't it? That explains, how someone as guilty as David could find grace and mercy in the eyes of the Lord. And that very same mercy can be poured out to anyone who seeks for it in and through Christ alone. That's the gospel, my friends. That is the gospel. Three important elements of true repentance. Three important aspects of genuine and true repentance. A plea for compassion, recognition of sin in confession, a request for consecration. And we saw that David knew that he cannot do it on his own. And neither can we. And if you're listening right now, and if you're so gripped with your sins, if God is convicting you of your sins, cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. Maybe this is the means of grace by which God is calling you out. God may be giving you faith. God may be giving you repentance. Sabi ng Biblia, today is the day of salvation. Now is a day of God's favor. Huwag na magpatumpik-tumpik pa, kaibigan. Cry out to Him. He can change your heart. He can make you as white as snow. He can give you a right spirit. He can make you new. And to those of you who may be believers, who may be living in sin, aren't you tired of the cover-up? Hindi ba kayo napapagod? Imagine David covered his sin up for not at least 9 months to 2 years. Imagine the pain. Imagine the agony. But imagine the beauty of being set free. Imagine the burden lifted up from his shoulders. The same can happen to you, dear friend. All you need to do is cry out. Have mercy on me, O God. This is my sin. It's so great, but I have mercy on me according to your love, according to your kindness. Wash me. Cleanse me. Blot out my sins. He can do that for you. He can. Because He loves you. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth. We pray that You would be glorified in how we would live this truth out. Salvation for those whom You are calling unto salvation. Restoration for those whom You are calling to repent of sins. And we pray that this would be for Your utmost glory. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You. There's our heart's cry in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you all next week. God bless you.